to 1 John chapter 5 and into John's Gospel chapter 3. 1 John chapter 5 and then John chapter 3. We're going to read two verses, one from each. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, I want you to listen to this verse very carefully. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now turn back to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world, that's all of mankind, the world of mankind, humanity, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, maybe ought to underline that word, whosoever, maybe to remind you, put your name there. Amen. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's some powerful verses in this book here, but there's none more powerful than that verse right there. That God loves everybody. No matter who you are, saved or unsaved, you're loved of God. But God wants you to be saved by believing in his Son. I want to talk with you today about God's plan of salvation. I hadn't planned to preach on this. I'd already worked for about a week on another sermon till Friday. God the Father is not the Savior. Are y'all listening to me? That's why you can call on God and God don't save you. Jesus, God's Son, is the Savior. A lot of people are mixed up about that. God's plan of salvation is based upon sinners accepting his Son as their Savior. That's the reason when you and I pray as believers, we always pray in Jesus' name. You don't just pray to God, you pray in Jesus' name. It's through Jesus you can get to God. We understand this? God is a holy God. And God has made a way for us to approach him. And there's only one way to approach a holy God. Because we're a sinful race of people. And God made that way through his only Son, his begotten Son. And if you believe in him, he said. This is because it is the Son of God who suffered and died for the sins of the world. God the Father didn't suffer and die on the cross. God the Father suffered to see his Son suffer. But it was Jesus, a man just like me and you, except without sin. A man with the same feelings, the same flesh, the same kind of life. He's the one that died on a cross. And yet that same man was God Almighty himself. Now, people can't figure all that out, so you needn't try. But he was really God Almighty in a human body. Although God became a man in Jesus, it was the man Jesus who experienced life like you and me. And he died upon a cross for the sins of the world. And it was the God-man who died. And you know what? He was not killed, as some like to think. He dismissed his own spirit from his body. This marvelous plan of salvation came to the world from the wisdom of God. Only God could come up with such a marvelous plan of salvation. Just think about it. God the Father determined that he would come into the world and that he himself would pay the sin debt of man through his only begotten Son. This was how God was going to come into the world. He would be a man. Think of this. God, knowing what it would take to justify man, put his plan into action 2,000 years ago. This plan of salvation being offered by God was the only way that even God could save anybody. Now, God, all things are possible with God, but there was only one way he could save us. The incarnation of Jesus for mankind is the greatest of all blessings. That God would love us so much that all that his Son would suffer, God was willing to allow his Son to suffer in order that we could be saved from our sin. Now, we don't see our sin that bad, do we, folks? Do you think your sin is that bad? It is to God. It is to God. If there is a greater miracle than this, of Christ dying on a cross for our sin, and that he was God himself that came, if there's anything greater than that, it was that after he died, he got up out of the grave. Amen. Amen. I mean, if he'd have died and never been raised, we'd have been no better off. He had to come back to life. He came back to life by his own power. Wow, what a God. He conquered death, folks. Boy, here lately I've had one funeral after another funeral. You know what? After I preached those wonderful sermons, they didn't know one of them get up, brother. They didn't want up and get up. Now, my Lord himself, he could just walk up to the briar and speak and say, get up, and they'd get up, but not with this preacher, folks. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite scriptures. Boy, this is so rich. It's so good. It's so illuminating, this verse in Philippians chapter 2 in your Bible. And I would hope it's marked or highlighted in some manner, beginning down at verse 6. But you ought to read the whole chapter. Speaking about Christ, who being in the form of God, think about that. Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the man that hung on the cross, folks. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Think about God Almighty made like me and you. being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. The Almighty, the Creator of all things, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, dying for a bunch of sinners. And I was that sinner. And you. And everyone. He was dying. God. So we could live forever. Folks, it's fantastic. Can y'all imagine one of these days, and it could be today, we're going to be walking in glory and alive forever where there's no more crying and no more pain? Can y'all imagine that? That in a moment we're going to be, hey, I'm 80. I'm going to soon be there. Amen. Man, I sleep so good at night. You know, I woke up the other night and I was sleeping so hard, I don't know where I was about to die or what. I was sleeping so hard. God's Son dying for our sin revealed how serious and glaring our sin is before God. Think about it now. The Son of God dying reveals how serious and glaring and evil and wicked our sin is before God. On the other hand, man does not see his sin as serious, does he? Let me ask you this. Think about it now. Is pride sinful to you? Is a profane word sinful to you? Is selfishness sin to you when you get the big piece of pie? Is lust? Yum, yum, yum. Lust sinful to you? Most of the time we don't think so, do we? I mean, that's our nature. That's just me. But you know, to God, it took His Son to pay because I'm selfish. I'm lustful. And for me to be okay with God, He had to come and die. Without the Bible, man does not think of himself being a sinner. Did you know that? On the other hand, we know murder is wrong, don't we? We know rape is wrong. We know stealing is wrong. Adultery is wrong. We would acknowledge those is wrong, right? But I'm a little bit selfish. I'm going to get to the line first. And because of that, God sent Jesus to die for me. Because man does not realize his sin as the crime they are before God, he deceives himself. God is a holy God. I cannot adequately explain to you how holy God is. But the Bible says He's so holy, He's a consuming fire. Any disobedience to Him is severe and requires punishment. No matter how little you might think it is, It's just as serious as any sin to God because of who He is. He's a holy God. Because of the holiness of God, He demands obedience. Adam and Eve, actually He said to Adam first, don't you eat that fruit. All them trees in the garden loaded down with fruit, don't you eat from that tree. Good Lord, which tree did He eat from? The one God said don't eat from. And Adam was created innocent. He didn't have an inclination to disobey God. No tendency to disobey God. He was innocent. But he ate. The devil had a way to trick him or to deceive him through his wife to eat it. That's the way the devil operates with all of us, folks. He can use somebody else to get us to do wrong. Because of the holiness of God, He demands obedience. And this is why God has provided us a Savior in His grace and mercy. And that Savior is His only Son, His darling, the one that resided in His bosom from eternity past. This salvation is provided to us by God's grace. It wasn't because we deserved it or merited it or earned it. It's just the pure grace of God that He's going to let His Son come and die. God did not see any good in us. The Scriptures is clear. There is none good, no, not one. That's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Through the eyes of God, He sees none good. Yet His love for us is so great and so wonderful and so marvelous. He's willing to sacrifice Him. Willing to sacrifice His Son because you're that loved. How could God love me that much? This is why eventually Judas, let me go to Ephesians 2:8 first. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Through grace, God is saving those people who will accept His darling Son who came from His bosom. God says, I'll save you. I'll forgive you. I'll make you a new person. I'll make you mine. I'll bring you to live with me by grace through faith. A gift of God. Wow! What a God He is. That in His wisdom, He could come up with this kind of a plan and means to save the most wicked of us. And every one of us is just as lost as the other one. May I say, there's nobody more lost than anybody else. And when one is saved, there ain't one no more saved than the other one. Amen? Why should God save sinners, church? None of us deserve salvation because we're so loved by God. That's why He's going to save us, because He loves us this much. He's willing to send His only Son to take our place. You know what? God knows what hell is going to be like forever. He knows what it's going to be like for the devil and his followers to be cast into that lake of fire. And God is trying to rescue man. And he loved man so much, I'm going to make a way for man to be saved from his sin. He didn't do that for the angels. He's just going to let them go. But man is so loved. Remember, the man is created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Man's a special creation of God, folks. Including in the sufferings of Jesus was he would be a person just like each of us with needs in life. Think about the Prince of Heaven, the Lord of Glory, coming down to this world, and he would have the same needs you have. In Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took flesh and blood just like us. He would be born as a baby. Can y'all imagine God Almighty, the Creator that made the world and the universe, that when Miss Vashti sits up here in this chair with that baby in her arms, representing the Christ of 2,000 years ago, that this was God feeding from his mother's breast? God? Humbling himself to this helpless creature, a baby. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to walk. He had to go to school. Hey, the one that knows everything. The one that had the power to speak and make everything. He would experience hunger. He would get thirsty. He got tired. He needed to sleep. He was human. He was really human. God. He'd have to go to school and grow into manhood just like all the other Jewish boys. At the age of 30, he began a public ministry, and he began to call men to follow him. This is amazing, him walking down by the seaside and say to those fishermen, I think there's at least five of them fishermen of the 12. Some of them, we don't know what they were. One was a tax collector. Follow me. And those guys just dropped it all. Maybe you could get some help like that, go along and just say, follow me. I doubt it. The purpose of these men he called to follow him was that he was going to teach them so they could succeed his work and take on his work after he had left to share with the world. And those men, the 11, Judas Iscariot, we know, betrayed the Lord and went out and hanged himself. But those other, and then another one that was added, they went all over the Roman Empire that day, the civilized world, letting people know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ died for the sins of the world. And millions of people were saved in those first 3 centuries. When the gospel was exposed. Praise God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. You can't do anything to get saved. It's all of God. Salvation, every bit of it. Any way you turn it, upside down, wrong side out, or sideways, everything is of God. You don't have a bit of part in your salvation. He even gives you the faith to believe. Isn't that awesome? But you got to use that faith. I heard a sermon. I believe it was Billy Graham's Friday. Man, what I believe it was the best sermon I ever heard Billy Graham preach in 1971 in Chicago. And look, Chicago now. I never seen so many people coming to that front, to that altar in my life. It looked like the whole auditorium just come. But Billy Graham said, every one of y'all has got faith. That whole Congo auditorium. And every one of you's got faith because you already expressed it. You sat on them seats without seeing if they'd hold you up. You did that by faith. You got faith. Yes, use your faith. Trust Christ. Put your faith in Christ. God has said, this is my son. Believe ye in him. And you shall have eternal life. Faith comes by hearing. I've just told you. Believe it. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. He can't lie. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. During his public ministry, Jesus was loved. Boy, did some people love him. Remember Mary and Martha's and Lazarus, how they loved the Lord? Of course, there was others. But he was the most hated man that ever walked on the earth, and he is this day. He's the most hated man there's ever been. He's also the most loved man that's ever been. Amen? What a Savior, folks! What a Savior! By his miracles of healing, the people just loved him. I saw my neighbor this week. I believe it was Monday I went up there. I saw him. I figured Tuesday or Wednesday would be burying him. That's how bad he looked. Now we hear all this good news. He's talking to my wife on the phone while I got. Ain't that something? God always has the last word, brother. Amen. God always has the last word. But the religious leaders of Jesus Christ's day hated him. Because he was getting all the detention and they wanted it. They were the important people. Besides, they wanted a Messiah that was going to deliver them from this Roman rule they were under. That's why eventually Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, betrayed him. And I just can't understand Judas Iscariot seeing this man for 3.5 years or so. Performing all the miracles and hearing all that he had to say. How in this world he could betray the Lord is beyond me. That's the power of the devil, though, folks. That's the power of the devil. Think of how God had to work out his plan of salvation for us. It took God 4,000 years before he brought his son into this world. It took 4,000 years to get the Savior here. That was by God's choice. It took 4,000 years. Because of who holy God is, sin must be paid for by man who has sinned against him. And holy God cannot allow for any disobedience, no matter how insufficient. With God, there's no little sins. So Jesus came and fulfilled the law of God that man had broken. Matthew 5:17-18. Think not I am come to destroy the law. Remember the Ten Commandments? We've all broke the first one. And James says if you broke the first one, you broke them all. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law for us, so we could be justified before God by believing in Him. But He took our place to pay our debt, and God has so designed it and arranged it. He said, now if you'll just accept my Son, just accept my Son as your Savior, I'll forgive you of all your sins, all your wrongs. And I'll make them as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast them behind my back. I'll blot them out, God said, if you would just accept my Son. Boy, God loves His Son. Because Jesus has fulfilled the law of God, there's no charge of sin against anyone who trusts Jesus as their Savior. I want you to think about that. No charge of sin against anyone that trusts Jesus as their Savior. On Judgment Day for the unsaved, that's going to be the awfulest whining and groaning and hysteria and fright. We can't imagine how awful it's going to be when those people see what's waiting for them. And it didn't have to be waiting for them, because Jesus took care of it on the cross. Jesus took care of it on the cross. Only believe in me, who I am, what I've done for you. I paid for your sins. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I want everyone in this building to understand, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the blunt of God's wrath fell on Him, just like He was in hell fire. He was made that cursed thing that demanded the judgment and the wrath of God, and He took it. That's the reason Jesus prayed so hard. His sweat was like blood. Lord God, if there's any other way, it frightened Him. But there was no other way. There was no other way. If there had been another way, God would have chosen another way. But even in His great wisdom, there was no other way for sin to be dealt with. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Because Jesus Christ not only died paying for our sin, if it had ended right there, we'd still be lost. But on the third day, like He said He would, He arose. And because He lives, Jesus said, because I live, ye also shall live. Death is nothing for believers. It's just the door we go to enter an eternal paradise. Wow, the grace of God for us sinners. God's plan of salvation has allowed His Son to suffer what we would have suffered, that is eternal separation in the lake of fire. God's Son bore it, and He bore it for everybody. And it satisfied God. God said, now this is satisfying me now. What my Son has did, you just accept my Son. I'm satisfied. No more sin against you. Wow. Wow, folks. Because of who Jesus is, He's able to suffer the wrath of God upon the cross and die. And then, because He was very God, He arose and conquered death to live forever. Our Savior. Stop and think about it. Because I'm a sinner, I'm doomed. Unless I repent of my sin and trust Jesus as my Savior. I'm already doomed. He says, we are already condemned. John 3:36 clearly states, because I'm a sinner, I'm doomed. Trusting Jesus removes the judgment of God. It removes the wrath of God. Just by believing in Jesus as my Savior. Acknowledge I am that sinner He died for. I am that guilty one. Trusting Jesus means I'm forgiven of all my sins and given eternal life. Think about that. I'm not only forgiven, but I'm given eternal life. I'm going to live forever now. Does anybody want to really die? No. Everybody wants to live. God put that in us. But think about it. We're all going to die because we're sinners. But God says, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to live forever. Trusting Jesus means I become a son of God. Boy, I've never had many promotions in this life, but that's a big one, ain't it? Trusting Jesus means I will live in heaven with the one who loved me this much that He'd die for me. Don't you like to be around people that love you? Come on now, don't you like to be around your family, your friends that really love you and appreciate you? Well, think about being in heaven forever with the one that loved you so much to die for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Trusting Jesus means I'm going to receive an inheritance. Amen. That will last for eternity. I won't be able to spend it all, brother. Amen. Oh, God's plan of salvation is perfect for sinners. When Jesus saves someone, they're saved forever at the moment of salvation. The moment you trust Christ is the moment you're saved. And then you're being saved. And then you will be saved. Why? Because you were saved. When you were saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Bible says. When you were saved, the moment you trusted Jesus, you were given eternal life, the Bible says. I believe the Word of God. And then the Bible says you're being kept by the power of God. Hallelujah, what a Bible. We've been given the truth. We are made a new person. And when you're saved, you don't revert back to the old person and revert back to the new person. No, you're a new person forever. And our Sunday school lesson today said and taught us how we are to live as that new person. We got to learn to say, no, I can't do this. Yes, I must do that. That's what the Sunday school lesson was about. God's plan of salvation does not depend on me to hold out. God's plan of salvation didn't put me on probation to see if I'd hold out either. Ain't no such teaching in the Bible. Oh, I know it's out there, but it ain't in the Word of God. God's plan of salvation does not depend on me holding out or holding on. It's faith in Jesus alone as my Savior is sufficient for salvation. Listen to Hebrews 10:14. I dare you to go there and mark this verse. Hebrews 10:14. It'd be worth the ink you'd spend on marking that verse. Because this verse says, for by one offering, Jesus is the offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The one that got saved has been perfected forever. I'm a perfected individual in Jesus Christ. I'm a new man in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about the power of the gospel in Colossians 1:28. We preach warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28. It is by this gospel, after we've been saved, we're to learn how to live for the Lord. To be the best Christian person we can be. Peter, the last thing he wrote before he was hung on a cross upside down, Peter said, we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. And that growing depends upon reading our Bible. And when we read it, start learning to conform to the teachings of the Bible. Love your neighbor. Get sin out of your life. Become more like Christ. Humble thyself. It is the death of Jesus and the burial of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus that accomplished our salvation. That is the gospel. That is the power of the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. On the cross, Jesus paid for all of our sins. Going down into death, he conquered death to live forever. And because he lives, we too will live with him one day. And it could start today for some of us. Now that we are saved, we no longer belong to ourselves. He bought us off of the slave market of sin where the devil had us. Because he has purchased us for himself. And now he is our Lord and Savior. He's our Lord and Savior. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God don't want a dead sacrifice. He wants you to live for him. He wants me to live for him. He wants me to live a godly, holy life for him in this present evil world. I'm glad that we don't have to bring goats and bulls and lambs and doves and kill the precious things and let their blood drain out on the ground. I'm glad we don't have to do that. But I hate it that our Lord had to be crucified and suffer like he did, like no other man has ever suffered, and his blood run out on the ground. But that's what it took to save this old sinful creature and every other sinful creature. The blood, the spilt blood of the crucified Lamb of God. Now living a holy life, not living a holy life, shows our ingratitude. Failing to love and serve our God and Savior is disrespectful. You know, the Bible says that at the judgment seat of Christ, that some of us are going to be ashamed when we stand before Him. Why would we be ashamed? We didn't live like we were supposed to. We didn't mortify the deeds of the flesh. We weren't faithful to the Lord. And thereby, we're going to be ashamed. And He's probably going to have the reward sitting over there. And He says, you could have had those rewards if you'd have been faithful. Let me challenge every one of us in this auditorium today to examine ourselves and commit ourselves to God, who bought us with the blood of His only Son that used to live in His bosom. Let's remember what He did. That in His wisdom, He could only come up with this one plan and one way to save us. And He was willing to use this one plan. What about it today? God, speak to hearts today. God, challenge your heart today to pray for these people in the salvation box, to pray for the needs that's in our bulletin, to pray for one another, to pray for this country. Oh, folks, God looks to us to get this gospel out. Thank you for supporting all these missionaries. Thank you for supporting the radio, the TV. Thank you for letting me have a part in it. Thank you. Commit ourselves to keep on keeping on. As long as He keeps the door open, let's pray, Lord, keep the door open. Lord, make the door wider to share the gospel and the love of God and the grace of God. Loving God, look down on us in your mercy. Lord, help us, Lord, to share God's plan of salvation. Help each and every one of us in this building, Lord, be a faithful witness of your grace of God. Cleanse our hearts. Cause our hearts to yearn and burn to learn about you and to live boldly for you. I pray for each and every one. I thank you for each and every one. We all got our different needs. Lord, help all of them to know they can go to you because you love them so much. Lord, help them. Encourage them. Challenge them. Lord, help me to encourage them, I pray. In our Savior's name, amen and amen.